You might have heard Emma Donovan on the show a few weeks back talking about her project to teach her mother's language, Gumbangia, through music. Well, on the other side of the country, Gina Williams has pretty much done just that. Gina has just released Kalya Cool, her album with Guy Gauss, and every track is in Noongar, a language that's been preserved and kept strong by a community of speakers, despite everything, and in a way that's pretty unusual for an Australian capital city. It's not easy to learn another language as an adult, but Gina found herself going back to learn Noongar as a way of healing her own past, a bit like medicine. And in the process, she learned something else, the four key principles of her mother's Balladong Noongar culture, from one of her elders in the Wheat Belt, out Kellyberran way.
Kaya, my name's Gina Williams. I'm a Balladong Noongar woman with links to the Gitche people of the East Kimberley. And I'm a singer-songwriter.
Hello, my name is Guy Gauss and I'm the guitarist and collaborator with the wonderful Gina Williams.
Yay. Yay. Gina, congratulations on this. Well, congratulations to the both of you. You describe it as a personal mission, this project, to sing in your beautiful language, Noongar.
Yeah, it is. Language is kind of like the last piece of the puzzle. So I was adopted as a child and, you know, finding my biological family, finding where my mob are from was really important. But I found that language is the glue that brings everything together and keeps it sort of locked in. So I feel really privileged. And the idea that I had to go back as an adult to learn my language was something I'm really passionate about. And passing it on now. So this is all about legacy, this album. This is about making something that my kids have that they can learn from.
So important, because as languages go, I know that they say there's about 250 speakers of Noongar, but all the stuff that's happening in the West to keep language, it just looks to me like there's so much happening over there.
There is. It's really interesting because it's a lot of it's down to the artists with the support of elders and language speakers. I read recently that there's actually 240 speakers left, so it's less than 250. There used to be 16 dialects. It's now across 14 dialects. So if you consider if an elder passes away, we run a real risk of losing an entire dialect of our language. And yet what we're seeing are these really beautiful things emerging out of it, and it's largely led by artists, people like Kyle Morrison, who's the artistic director of Yuri Ark, and young guns like Phil Wallystack, he's a singer-songwriter as well. He's writing some stuff and utilising some language elements in his performance. People like Kylie Farmer, who's an amazing, beautiful actress, you know, she's doing really amazing stuff with language as well. So, you know, we're in a really critical position at the moment in terms of the survival and the thriving of our language. But I think that there's some really important, great people who are highly motivated. So we are, in fact, seeing some really fantastic things happening in the West.
Tell us about the collaboration with Guy. Actually, I'll ask Guy. Guy, when did you meet Gina Williams?
Well, Gina and I have known each other, I would say, for a good 10 to 15 years, probably even more. I used to watch Gina on television and and she was famous up north.
Don't say that.
So we ended up, you know, starting back in 2007, we joined up on stage for a collaboration. And then from 2 years ago, we started a songwriting project together, working out on the eastern wheat belt, places like Kellyberran and Kerriding, doing a songwriting workshop. And from there, the concept grew.
And what a concept it is. Gina, Guy mentioned that you were famous and he watched you on television. People will know, a lot of blackfellas will know your history as a journalist. But, I mean, I think it's important in terms of the articulation of a voice. You spent all the first part of your life as a journalist. How do you think that helps now with articulating a new story through your music?
I think people respond to music anyway. What we try and do is represent the language, the Noongar language, with as much dignity, as much integrity and as much beauty as we possibly can. So when people come to a performance, they don't just hear the songs, they actually get a story that goes behind that. So there's a story, there's a translation, and then there's a song. So I think it's really important to be able to communicate that, because without you know, without knowing what the words are, you have to occupy a different space to listen to the music. So I think that, you know, journalism was great in helping me to tell stories in a succinct way, although I do get called Miss Have a Chat. So it doesn't always have, we have mixed results.
Well, talking's so important, you know, that's my business too.
Well, I think that's where reconciliation plays out, isn't it? You know, this is how we reconcile, and this is how we walk together. This is our future. It's not about policies, and it's not about government saying that, you know, and having special weeks. It's about a day-to-day doing, you know, getting up and representing, and, you know, and for us, it's for me personally, it's about very gently getting alongside people, because we all understand what, you know, regardless of where we're from, we all understand love, we all understand joy, we all understand loss, and we all understand sadness. So I think that, you know, when we realise that we're not so different after all, then we can share stories and, you know, and we can kind of start to heal and move on.
Couldn't agree more. I love that analogy of getting up alongside someone and gently coaxing out the story.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I mean, I spent in a previous life, that was my career to, you know, and you would know in your experience when you're interviewing people, particularly in our community, you're dealing with people that have deep trauma, and it's intergenerational. So it's not a matter of just walking up with a camera and a microphone and shoving it in somebody's face. It's about, you know, it's about, I don't know, getting trust and building that relationship. And you have to do it quite quickly because there's all those sorts of, you know, other things that are pressures and deadlines and all that sort of thing. So, you have to do it at a particular pace. But I think it's, you know, it's not about us and them, it's about us. Mm. There's no them, it's all us.
And this whole thing about, you know, I always talk about rapport with someone I'm talking to. But you, on our side too, for blackfellas, you've got to make sure that you're not gammon, that you're not being fake about
that.
Oh, yeah,
rapport. That's right. I think we can spot it. I think we have a radar for it. So I think that, you know, there's no point in pretending to be somebody that you're not. You just need to be yourself. And people respond to that, I think. Guy, you'd have more idea of this sort of thing. With our performances and stuff, I think we just kind of get up and be ourselves. Has mixed results, but something happens when we play live shows, you know, because we're not pretending to be people that we're not. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, like when Gina, you know, explains the stories and the meanings behind songs, and people sort of engage in that, then, you know, musically we try to I suppose it's like a soundtrack, you know, and the next time you're watching a movie and you see a landscape shot or something that's, you know, of high impact, turn the sound off, and then you realise how important it actually really is. It's not just a visual thing. So, you know, Gina sings in such a way which really sort of cuts through musically and tonally. So it's a whole package. It's a wonderful experience to be on stage doing this stuff.
I want to go back just a little to Uncle Tom Hayden and, you know, one of your elders out there in Kellerberrin in the wheat belt of Western Australia.
Yeah,
he's been important in this journey of yours.
Uncle Tom and I have known each other for many, many years, but we didn't know each other. We'd never met. We'd never actually physically met. We'd always just heard about each other. And it's one of those, it's hard to explain, but I loved him before I clapped eyes on him. And it was just, you know, he's been a constant support, and he's been a wonderful, wonderful presence. And in all of this, Guy and I try and, when we do performances and stuff, we imagine that he's in every audience. So, you know, we make sure that we honour him. Guy's been saying for years, you know, oh, you should do language songs, because I've been learning language for about 5 years. And I thought, oh, you know, who's going to want to listen to me singing in language? And I went to London a couple of years ago for a program called Accelerate with the British Council. When I came home I realised why I absolutely had to go. I was compelled to do songs in language. And I landed on the Monday. We drove out to Keller on the Wednesday. Guy and I drove out, and all the way we were talking about how we, you know, I suddenly realised it was like the lights went on. And we got to Keller Barron, and Uncle Tom was there, and I gave him a big hug, and the first thing I said was, I've got to write songs in language, but I don't know what to write about. And he went, oh, that's really easy. There's four principles. Ngang Court, my heart. Ngalang Mort, our people. Ngalang Buja, our land. And Ngalang Krolinga. And Krolinga is our children, but it's more than our children. It's about the legacy that we leave the generations that follow. And according to Uncle Tom, if you keep those principles in, you know, keep them right, then everything else should fall into place. And he's absolutely right. It does. And what we found happens is as we're writing songs, all the songs on the album are informed by one of the, you know, one or more of those principles. So it means that, you know, what we're writing is really substantial.
That last plank of Balladong culture that you talked about, I'm not going to attempt a pronunciation.
Korlanga?
Korlanga. it is in every single song, and it's such a big idea. It's such a, yeah. But it makes perfect sense to me as a black fella. Talk
it
a
does.
Little bit more about how that is so much part of what you're doing here.
It's about legacy. It's about, you know, we acknowledge that terrible things have happened. We acknowledge that awful things were done to decimate our language and our culture and our people. My mother was taken from her mother, who was taken. And, you know, Mum was never allowed to speak her language. And so for me, it's about regaining that and setting it right. Guy has this wonderful turn of phrase. He says it's about rewriting scripts. And that's, you know, I feel like we're firmly in the business of doing that. What's happened has happened, and we will never forget that. We will always acknowledge that, and we always honour the elders that had to endure this. But now it's about what we do. It's about what we do at this point in time to make it better for our kids. So from where we sit, it's about giving our kids a resource where they can learn language and they can have something. And it's done in a way that it's not special. It's not because it's NAIDOC Week. It's not because it's Reconciliation Week. It's not because it's an apology. It's because we're on Noongar country and that's what we do here. And I think, you know, that's no disrespect to those things. I think that NAIDOC and reconciliation, those things they have a really, really critical and important part in our society. But we need to start thinking about the day-to-day and how we infuse our culture and our languages and, you know, our beliefs and things into the everyday.
And how much is Noongar a part of your everyday? I can imagine you're talking to your kids, you're a very proud mother.
Yeah, I am.
And you're sharing that language, you know, probably at a very, quite granular level with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. My whole motivation for learning language was to write songs so that I could teach my kids and teach myself to speak the language. And I found that, you know, what we found was that there's a much, much wider appeal. My kids all understand language. It's interesting because the girls, one of my daughters, my middle child, she'll speak in language to me in an everyday context. My eldest daughter, she used to, when we started learning language, she would respond in French, rebellious teenager, but she's, even now, she will answer me back in, you know, in English or in language. But there's this other thing that's sort of happening in our community. There's this new Noongar language, which is kind of emerging with these young kids, and it's you know, they're creating their own words as well. So Lauren and I have long discussions about, you know, you should, my opinion is you should learn old Noongar first and then you know where all the words come from. And she thinks I'm an old grogan and I should just butt out and let her go do her own thing. But my little boy, we've just enrolled him in a kindy. And we chose the kindy on the basis that the teacher there teaches Noongar language. And she was my first teacher. So it's, you know, I feel like we've sort of come a bit of a full circle with it all. Kwa bada kura.
Fuck you, what border wine? Ngalang kut balap murndan. Nunu kut kulin bokeja. Ngala kanyin ngala kala ngarin Ken kerala nunu kyuwal ku Ngala chirpin alicha kerala Nunu kyuwal ku Nunuk you al cool Borda Borda Nunuk Mordich cool in Borda 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 Nga Ngala kanyin ngala kala ngarin Ken kerala nunuk yu alku Ngala chirpin alicha kerala Nunuk yu alku
Now, the song that you performed so beautifully for us, talk about that one.
Yungas don't say goodbye. We don't say, there's no sort of word for goodbye, I guess, because people never really left. So, but the word borda means by and by or later. So we say by and by instead of saying goodbye. I guess this song was about, the translation is beautiful friends. We don't want to say goodbye. Our hearts are heavy because you're going away. We'll keep our campfires burning and one day you'll return. We look forward to that day when you come back. So by and by, we wish you strong travels and we'll see you again by and by. So it's my second foster family, I'm a product of four families, so I was adopted. And then I was made a ward of the state, placed in foster care, and then placed in a second foster home. So my second foster home were Māori, and I used to go to Māori culture classes with my dad on every Wednesday night. And it struck me how beautifully their language, the Māori language, was represented by these songs, these, you know, men and women singing these glorious sort of songs. And I guess border is a bit of a tribute to that style of music. Guy plays incredibly on all the tracks. It's interesting because when we wrote them, I'd play something on a clapped out old guitar that's out of tune, and he'd go, "Oh, is this what you mean?" And he'd turn these things into something really incredibly beautiful. So Border is a perfect example of that.
Beautiful, beautiful playing, Guy.
Thank you,
Gina. Gina represents this collaboration in such a way. It's a partnership. For you, what's it like when you're playing and supporting Gina on stage? What are your feelings?
Well, it's a good question. I grew up in up north in the Kimberley region, and I think I was there when I was 13 when I first went up, and I find myself connected to, I suppose, the simple things of community and family and people getting together and playing music, you know, for the community. So I always find myself levitating towards that, and in this particular instance, with, you know, these songs are so deep, they come from a place. The language needs to be treated respectfully, and presented in a way that's going to be, you know, captivating, hopefully, to the listening audience. So there's a whole lot of things we're having to consider apart from just playing songs.
You're learning Noongar along the way as well.
I am, but it, the question you asked previously, it's amazing. I've been saying a lot of these words, you know, growing up in Perth, but not realising. I mean, most of the suburbs that we grew up here are all Noongar words, you know. Nolamara, you know, it's what's that, kangaroo paw, and
yep.
It just goes on.
Well, so you can go to the top of the class, Gyasi.
There you go. So yeah, so it's we've been surrounded by it, but we just haven't quite known it. So it's good to reference it. You know, for so many years, a lot of the old people who I've grown up with and listened to, they haven't had the opportunity to have a voice and to get certain aspects of the language that they hold so close, you know, out to the general public. So this is a really honourable, I think, and fortunate opportunity that we've got to do it, but also one that we have to, I think, make sure that we do it correctly.
Yeah, we're constantly aware that what we do is a privilege. It's an honour. It's not something that we take for granted for a moment. And we feel really honoured that people trust us with this.
We were talking about the, also in my language, Bundjalung, no word that I can really think of where we express the idea of goodbye, of a parting. And similarly, in Noongar, there's no word for, you were saying, no word for stolen and no word there's no word for freedom, because that was inherent.
Not that I'm aware of. As someone who's learning, there may be in a dialect, certainly not in our dialect, I've not come across any words that for please, for thank you, because I think that they were things that culturally you just did. You know, you knew your part in your community and you played your role. And so, you know, you just got on with it, and freedom and stolen, because I wanted to write a song about being free, and I couldn't. I've been searching for about 4.5 years for the word. I haven't come across it yet. I haven't come across the word for stolen, and it's interesting.
There's a song on this new album of yours. It's an unusual one. It's a version of a song by a very well-known song by a very well-known singer.
Yep.
Tell me about the idea behind Moorditj Balladong Yok.
Okay, Moorditj Balladong Yok. I was coming home from London. I was sitting on a Virgin flight taxiing out of Heathrow, and I was listening to Sting on the in-flight entertainment, and he was singing about all the things that were very English, you know. I don't take coffee, I drink tea, my dear. I like my toast done on one side. And I just thought, it's really, you know, that kind of sums up, you know exactly what he's talking about. Do you know what I mean? So I started to think about all the things that are very Australian, and more specifically, all the things that are very Balladong. What's interesting is that the word for woman is yok, which sounds like New York. And so he was singing, I'm an alien, I'm a legal alien, I'm an Englishman in New York. So I sat there going, Ngang Balladong, I'm Balladong. Ngang Moorditj Balladong, I'm strong Balladong. Ngang Moorditj Balladong Yok, I'm a strong Balladong woman. And by the time we landed in Hong Kong, I had this song written in my head, and so I, you know, jumped off the plane while we were waiting between flights, and I knocked this song out. And it was interesting because I thought, you know, we probably wouldn't use the tune, and it's not a it's not a translation of the song. I hasten to add, it's an adaptation, and it, you know, it talks about our land is really beautiful. We're under, you know, brilliant blue skies and shining stars at night, and we're surrounded by beautiful oceans and rivers. Our people have been here for a long time. You know, we've stood through good times and bad, and we'll stand here forevermore, and we stand together as one. So, you know, there's all those kind of principles. I never really thought that we'd actually perform the song. It was just one of those sort of little exercises to keep me distracted because I'm a bit frightened of flying. Anyway, Guy was over one day and I told him about this song, and he was like, oh, well, we could probably change the tune, and, you know, the words aren't really, you know, you wouldn't know unless you knew. And I just sang it, and we were like, actually, that's kind of cool. And so we, long story short, we ended up getting his blessing to record it and perform it. And what's really interesting is when we play it live, we don't sort of tell people what the song is. We just kind of explain that, you know, this song is an adaptation based on, and then people realise exactly what it is, and you see the audience have this wonderful light bulb moment. It's really cool.
Let's talk about how it works together. Like, who comes up with the melodies, or is it a true collaboration in that sense? How does it musically unfold?
We don't really have a formula.
No.
We don't really have a formula. We sometimes Gina can be humming something and I'm going, hang on, just do that again. And Gina will turn around and say, do what again? I said, that thing you just did 5 seconds ago. So some songs have started that way. Some songs have started just with a couple of chords and some melodies. And some have started with a specific concept in mind. You know, Gina has an idea about something which she feels strong that she wants to write about, and then we explore the way that song needs to be presented.
We had this really wonderful day of writing. Guy was on the other side of the world, and he sent me all these beautiful guitar tracks, and I just, every single one of them was a song, and I just sent back songs. So we had this day where we just wrote five songs that were written in this one day. And that's really amazing. The title track to the album is Kalyukul, and I was hanging out in the washing and I heard Guy play this extraordinary melody, and so I was trying to sing the words so I wouldn't lose the tune. I was trying to make up words as I was going along. By the time I'd hung out the washing, I had this song, so I ran inside and threw open my laptop, sang into the laptop, emailed it to Guy, and then a couple of hours later we had a complete song, and it's just, you know, incredible. And his playing far exceeded anything I'd heard, but the melody was all, it was all there. It was just amazing. So there's kind of Guy's right. There's no real formula. We just kind of get on with it.
You know, James Taylor has this wonderful saying where he says that all the good songs and the ideas and the concepts are out there. It's just that we are the ones that have to be open at a particular time in which to capture it.
Yeah.
It's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we create, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, the album Kalyukul, the title track, we were just talking about it there, but the album is released on the 4th of April, and you're going to tour behind it as well.
Yes, we've got a couple of trips to the East Coast planned. We launch on the 4th of April in Fremantle at the Fly By Night, which will be amazing, and we're really excited that, you know, and hopeful that the community will all sort of represent and come and share with us this really wonderful, amazing thing. And we're playing
17th of April.
17th of April.
The
National Folk Festival.
In Canberra.
So we're in the opening concert for that, and we've got 5 shows across the 5 days. And we're back for Fairbridge Festival here in WA, and then we head back to Sydney in
May.
We're supporting the most amazing, beautiful Archie Roach. I'm really excited about that.
Have you worked with Uncle
friend.
Before? Yeah, you've worked with Uncle before.
Yeah. We supported him in December, and then we caught up with him. Actually, it was really amazing. We played the Nanup Festival recently, and he was the headline act. And he was so beautiful. And we, the last show that we did, he played. He came and sat in the audience. I didn't see him come in. And I had a bit of a, I had a bit of a
Winyan moment.
Yeah, Winyan moment. A bit of a meltdown. I got a bit emotional and sort of couldn't really bring myself back from it because it's quite an emotional thing to sing language for me. And this voice called out in the audience and he goes, "It's all right, sis, I'm standing up there right next to you." And I didn't see him, but I knew exactly who it was. It was Archie. And afterwards I talked to him about it, so I didn't know how to try and, you know, I was trying to get a grip basically. And I just couldn't seem to do it. And every time I looked in the audience, there was somebody crying, which, you know, and you see someone crying and I go, "Oh, Winyan, I can't help it. I've got to cry for them." And So, you know, by the end of it, I'm crying for Australia. Anyway, he was like, "Why would you want to do that? It's honest and it's real and people want real and they want honest. And, you know, you get up there and it's a gift." And I thought, wow, you know, it's a really profound thing to say. And it's true. So, yeah, it was amazing. So we're really excited to be performing with Archie in May. There's a show in Manly, Kincumba and Newcastle, so that'll be really great.
Do you hope this album, I mean, aside from, you know, being instructive in many ways, I think it will be instructive, do you hope that others might also interpret these lyrics and these songs? Would you like to see kids singing them? Because there's something anthemic too. There's a, I think it's the bonus track.
Yeah, Wonju.
Yeah. Would you like to see, you'd like to see kids singing that one, Wonju?
Absolutely. Wonju is written specifically with primary school kids in mind. The idea was that, you know, every week, my kids were going to primary school, every week they'd have a school assembly. They'd raise the Noongar flag, they'd raise the Aboriginal flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag, and they'd raise the Australian flag, and then they'd sing the national anthem. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to sing a welcome song in language, not for NAIDOC week, but every week, because we're on Noongar country and we should be welcoming our guests and visitors to these places. And it's a really positive, happy way to impart language. Wonju is the word for welcome, and I just think, you know, it's not a hard word to learn, and it's a happy thing. I don't know, it's a really positive thing. So I'm hopeful. What I really hope is that people will hear the album and the first thing that they'll think is, it's beautiful. The language is so beautiful. What I hope then is that they'll listen to it enough times they can absorb some of it. So particularly on Noongar country, when people hear things like Welcomes to Country, where people speak language, that they would understand words, and it demystifies it a little bit, I think. We've got translations and spelling in the booklet of the album. So I just hope that people, you know, it's more than just good music. It's a great resource and it's all those other things, but ultimately I'm really proud of this language and I think it's really beautiful. And we need all the friends that we can get, not just here, but, you know, everywhere, because that's our best chance of our language survival.
The singer-songwriter Gina Williams and guitarist Guy Gauss. And their album, Kalyakul, was released on Friday at the Flyby Nightclub there in Fremantle. And there's a link to their official website on our website, abc.net.au/rn. Find a way in the program menu on the right-hand side of the page. You also heard a live version of the song Border, performed in our studios in Perth.